The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
Schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strongwriter on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. And that's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along.
My mind's made up to learn a thing or two from an artist who says that she is obsessed with the crap of songwriting. How you doing, everybody? My name is Dean Olson, and I am the Strongwriter on the radio. Helping to keep songwriters and artists musically fit, and the way I love to do that is through faith and encouragement, by learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you. I want to quickly get into this interview that I just had with a wonderful woman. Her name is Leslie Becker. She is from New York City. She's a singer-songwriter, dabbles a lot in country music, and she is also a Broadway actress, appearing in several musicals off and on Broadway. But as for her songwriting career, she has just released an album, an EP of 6 songs, and the title is Get Yourself a Cowboy. You can get that on iTunes, and best place to go is www.lesliebmusic.com. I want to now, without further ado, share with you the wonderful and talented Leslie Becker, and I'll talk to you at the break. Here you go. Leslie Becker is with me. She's a songwriter from New York City. She's also a Broadway actress. This is wonderful. I'm really excited to talk to this woman. And she happens to be, oh, look, she's on the phone right now. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Dean.
How is your day going today?
Oh, it's a great day, actually. It's actually beautiful here in New York. We're starting to turn to fall, so that's a great thing here.
Now, I'm in California, so they're two different worlds, at least climate-wise. It does get a little cold down there, and snow all over the city, right?
Oh, yes. Wintertime, we don't look forward to.
So all these TV shows and movies we see where everybody's getting the overcoats and the hats, that's just the way life is, right? When the temperature drops below, I don't know, say 30 degrees, it starts to get that way, right?
Absolutely. And usually those winter months, we are in, big parkas and umbrellas if it's raining or snowing, and certainly big boots that are waterproof. So.
Well, welcome to my program. You bill yourself as a singer-songwriter. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I read the About Leslie section,
yes,
of your website, and you have a sort of a Twitter-esque description of yourself, which I liked.
It's thank you.
I think you know what I'm might be talking about. It says an American, a daughter,
yeah,
a sister, et cetera, et cetera. No wife or mother in there, so you sound like a single girl.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Go,
by choice.
Good. By choice. That's okay. Okay, let me stop that. You're a dog lover. That's cool. So am I.
Nice.
Connoisseur of life. I'm just sort of reading to get the feel here. You're a Broadway actress. That's very nice. And a pizza lover. Okay, that's cute. A published author. Awesome. What did you publish?
I actually have two books out. The brand is called The Organized Actor. And the second book is The Organized Actors Build Your Business book. It's basically two books I wrote about helping actors get control of the business side of their career, because whether you're an actor or an artist, you need to approach it always as a business. So those books, the first one has been out for over 20 years as the top organizational tool for actors. So I'm real proud of that.
Okay, good. It's always good to have that type of mindset, you know, get into a business, you know.
Definitely.
Get yourself into a business. Would you say that's branding yourself as an actress, or?
Yeah, part of it's that, but also just really approaching it from a business aspect. You know, as artists, a lot of times artists are known, that's a generalization, but kind of known to be unorganized or not really looking at it from a business sense, but just allowing yourself to learn about finance and about marketing and about organizing your life and creating specific goals that you're trying to reach is really important to help you get there. So that's what the books are about.
We'll sort of swerve back and forth between acting and music because it sounds like you have your foot in both worlds and you love them both, right?
I really do. You know, I've been so blessed because my main career is as an actor, a Broadway actress. So right now I'm in a show on Broadway called Amazing Grace, and we run through October 25th. So that's very exciting, and it's always wonderful to be working here in the city. And my music has been, you know, something that's also been a dual part of my life. And it started really mostly in musical theater. So I have several musicals that are in the works, that are in major development stage. And that's how the commercial country music started to come about, because with musical theater, as you write a show, it's a very long trajectory when you're writing a show. It could take you 7 to 10 years to actually create a show that gets to Broadway and whether it ever does get to Broadway.
Wow.
And a couple of years ago, I just realized that I'd written so much material, not only musical theater, but also pop songs and things out there. And I just thought, you know, I really need to commercialize my music. And so about a year and a half ago, I really started focusing on country music because I've always been a country music fan. Mm-hmm. And country music is such a rich place right now. It's really where so many people are gravitating to in terms of listening to music, because country has become a crossover between country and pop. It's not just the old school country.
It absolutely,
so it offers you a little more expansion in songwriting. So I love it. I just think it's an awesome thing to pursue.
Well, it was interesting that you are enamored with country music. Where did you grow up? All the time out there in New York? Or?
Well, no, actually, I'm a California girl. So I grew up in Manhattan Beach, California.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, and spent actually a lot of time in the Orange County area because as a young person, I, of course, worked in the entertainment department at Disneyland. I went to Cal State Fullerton.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we share that Orange County that Orange County thing going on.
Absolutely,
But I moved to New York about 20 years ago, and I got to be honest, I never looked back. I felt home for the first time in my life when I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And just it matches my energy, the city. There's always something to do. But now, in the last year and a half, as I've been really focusing on my country music, Nashville is also calling my name, so I spend a lot of time down there as well. So I feel very blessed to get to be in the places that I love to be.
Nothing between us but our blue jeans, when you dance so close to me, I like the way your hips can move me, yeah. Like there's nothing between us. Pretty girl, don't try pretending this is nothing. There's something going on here. Each look keeps my heart a-thumping. Your mama must have taught you well. Ain't no secret, baby, everybody can tell, yeah. Nothing between us but our blue jeans when you dance so close to me
Could you tell me how you landed in Nashville? And I saw a little thing in the bio that says it was through a series of divine interventions. That's provocative enough to spark a question. What's that all about?
Yeah, you know, I really do feel like it's been this giant blessing. And how it all came about was about 2 years ago, I went back to writing a particular musical that I was working on that I had worked on several years ago. And we kind of put it on a shelf. And I reached back out to my collaborator and said, let's work on this now. I think it's the right time. And we immediately got accepted to a major new musicals festival at Goodspeed Opera House. And our show was very successful there. And one of the things we had to do during this festival was they also wanted us to do a cabaret evening where it featured other songs we'd written together. Well, my partner and I had not written anything except that musical together.
Mm-hmm.
So they said you could also do individual songs that you had each done.
Right.
Well, we happened to be staying with somebody else in our housing was a major guitarist. And I had written a country song years ago that I said, hey, if I just sing this to you a cappella, would you be able to put chords to it on your guitar? And he said, oh, yeah. So we just started singing this song together that I'd written, and some people came out of the rooms and were like, what is that song? That's really great. And I said, oh, it's this country song I write. They're like, you need to do something with that. Why don't you sing it for the cabaret? So I did, and a lot of people came up to me afterwards and just said, what are you doing with that song? That has to, you have to do something with that. So at that moment, I decided to, you know, why don't I pursue that? Because I had a lot of other country songs I'd written. I decided to cut a 3-song demo. Well, this is the divine intervention that happens. I literally said, I want to cut a 3-song demo in Nashville. And about a week later, Dean, I got a phone call to go out on the national tour of Wicked as an actor.
Wonderful.
And the first stop they were making was Nashville for a month. So
oh.
I thought, well, that is divine intervention, because now I just said I wanted to do this demo, and now I'm going to be in Nashville for a month to get to do that. So I did, I recorded 2 songs while I was down there. When I was finished with the tour, because it was just a short stint on the tour, when I came back to New York, I just happened to be sitting at lunch with someone and said, yeah, I'm now writing country music. And there was another person there, and they said, well, I happen to know a country music producer here in New York. And I thought, well, that's really cool, but I never thought it would come to anything, because this man had never heard my music. He didn't know me. But he said, no, I'm going to hook you up. I really believe in connecting people, and I'll hook you up. And I thought, yeah, well, whatever. Well, sure enough, a day later, he called me and said, here's the guy's name, which happens to be Joe Volpis, who I know you've heard of through Brian Hudson.
Yes.
And so he said, Joe's going to take your call. So I called Joe, and he said, send me your stuff. He loved my 2 songs and said, let's meet. And our first meeting, we just hit it off. Within 45 minutes, we'd written 2 songs together, and a couple of weeks later went into the recording studio. So it was just, I always felt like it was this series of divine interventions that made this all happen. So I feel like a pretty blessed girl.
Well, I haven't had Joe officially on the show. I'm hoping to, and he's, apparently he has good taste. He's got a good ear, because he snapped Brian up, and he snapped you up some time ago. So
yeah,
that's
really
wonderful.
You know, he really, and I'm sure Brian raved about him as well. He's just this guy who, first of all, is passionate about music. He has a great ear, and he's kind of a musical genius. He'd been doing it, you know, I mean, he was one of those kids that, you know, age 5 just started playing the piano on his own. So,
wow.
You know, he was born to be in the music industry. and he's just such a supporter. When he likes someone, he gets fully behind you, and all of us who are his artists feel very grateful for that.
Well, I got a quick question about when you say musical genius. I'm not going to compare myself to Joe or other genius producers, but I have a producer's heart, and that's how I approach songwriting.
Amazing.
And how do you cultivate, you know, that air quotes musical genius? Because if you put it on, like, if you put it to sleep or put it aside for a long time, do you think you can lose it, or how do you nourish it, like a plant, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because I am actually someone who left writing for about 8 years because I had such huge goals for myself as an actor. I wanted to be a principal in a Broadway show, and I realized the people that are trying to be a principal starring role in a Broadway show,
mm-hmm.
they're also not off writing musicals and writing music and doing all this stuff. It takes great focus. So I purposely set aside my writing and, you know, did it with intention to get to the goals that I wanted as an actor.
Right.
And I got to those goals as an actor. And it was about 2 years, maybe 3 years ago, that I really realized, you know, my writing is something that I've always been very passionate about. And I knew I'd always go back to it. And I knew that the universe would provide the time for it. And I literally woke up one morning and went, it's time to go back to writing.
Mm.
And I think since I've gone back to my writing, I have been happier. I've been more successful as an actor. It's opened up doors for me in all different areas of my life, because I think when you let something go that is so natural to who you are, there's a part of you missing. And I don't think that ever goes away. And when you go back to it, I think you can be better than you were before. So I don't think it's a skill that goes away. I think if you are naturally born to do something, you will always gravitate back to it.
Thank you. What a beautiful thing to say there. That's one of the reasons I created a show and why I coined the term strong writer.
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you. When I did that, I didn't realize I was doing it for myself. So now I call myself the strong writer. And the reason,
absolutely.
Reason why is because people like you and my guests, you're making me stronger. Because I'm still going through sort of a hiatus. I have a lot of irons in the fire, and it's very tough to make time for songwriting or making music. But I certainly have it in my heart all the time. You know, every time I wake up, I'm thinking about making something, but when I don't make it for that day, it hurts a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's a part of you.
It is a part of you. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I like to do, and this may help you as well, is I make sure that the first thing I do in the morning is my music. So whether that means I can only have 5 minutes to it, whether it means just turning on the radio and listening to a new song or downloading a new song or me sitting down and just writing one simple lyric, mm-hmm. I make myself do it. And it's become a habit. And what usually happens from that habit is even if you say, okay, I'm committing just to 10 minutes a day to do something toward that, it turns into 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then suddenly an hour later you've written a song.
That's great.
You know, that's something that I've just implemented because you have to keep it going, to keep that.
It's almost like forcing yourself to do what you want to do, like be it diet or exercise or something like that, meditation. I don't know.
Right.
Whatever it is, you know, you really want to do it, but you get to the point, I don't know, you might procrastinate or something. Like once you get it started, you feel better for doing it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the starting point is the hardest thing, you know, just for how we are as human beings. You know, the starting is the scariest part because it's the jump off point. And then once you start it, then it becomes easy. So, you know, especially when it's something you really want to do or you know deep inside that you should be doing.
Yeah.
Finding that ability to just say, this is what I'm going to do first. And doing it first in the day is important because you know how email and Twitter and the phone starts to ring and you go do whatever other work you do. And so suddenly your day's gone and you go, oh, I didn't work out. I didn't do this. So whatever it is that you're trying to achieve in your life, make that the first thing you do in the morning instead of all the business work that you think is important, because all that stuff really isn't that important. What's really important is doing what is in your heart and starting your day with that, because then all the other stuff is easier. The business stuff you don't like doing becomes easier because you already did your art.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for any artist, human, really.
You got to take the sort of not so glamorous with the other part, too.
Yeah.
Because that's what life is. It's a series of that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me do some more of your bio, because, boy, you're well-rounded. It says you spent much of your life in the entertainment industry. How so? And how far back does this go?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm on the older side. So I've been in the business for about 25 years professionally. That started out, I started in a ballet company when I was very, very young, did the Nutcracker Ballet every year, was part of that company for about 9 years.
Wow.
And I pretty much always knew I really didn't want to be a ballerina, but I loved dancing and I loved performing, and it gave me the foundation to transition into musical theater, which I knew pretty early on that I really wanted. But I got to be honest with you, Dean, I was, you know, as a young person, I was not as brave and bold as I am now, and I didn't really think that you could make a living as an artist. So mm-hmm. I pursued something entirely different in school. My degree is actually in advertising and marketing from Cal State Fullerton.
Okay.
I had my own advertising business out of college for about 7 years. So I was doing that freelance for all different companies. A lot of my companies were theater companies, and I was doing it so that I could continue to pursue my work as an artist and an actor.
Right.
And then finally, when I was 28, I had one of those moments. I woke up and went, wait, I'm miserable. I want to be doing that for a living. I don't want to be doing advertising for a living.
Yeah.
And within a moment's notice, I called all my clients and said, I'm closing my doors. And
whoa.
I started pursuing what I really wanted to pursue in my life. And that's when everything started to happen.
Wow.
So I do believe that when we accept in ourselves what we are really meant to do and what we love to do, that the universe finally goes, oh, thank God, we knew that all the time. So we're glad you're deciding to do that. So, yeah.
Wow. Is anybody in the works of making a movie of your life? That sounds like a movie where you shut the doors and go, look out, Broadway, here I come. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I don't know if it would be a very exciting movie, but it's been certainly an exciting, exciting life. It has been a ventureful life, and you know, I've had many challenges, but certainly these in these last, I would say, particularly 5 years, it's been very fertile and just very exciting of all the happening. So
I apologize. There was a call waiting on the line. I apologize if some of that cut out. But
oh, no problem. I didn't even hear that.
Yeah. And so when did you get into playing piano? It says that you were trained classically.
Yeah, I did. Again, my mom was a huge proponent for both my sister and I. She put us, in ballet and baton and piano. And mm-hmm. my sister is 2 years older than me, and she started. My sister didn't end up being in the entertainment industry, but so at about age 5, I just said, I want to take piano too, Mom. And so I started taking piano and played for a long time. And I'm going to be honest, it is probably the saddest piece of my life because I do not play piano anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved to New York, I didn't have space for a piano in my apartment. So I just, it kind of is something that faded away. Obviously, I still have the musical skill.
Mm-hmm.
But when I compose music, mostly like in the musical theater world, I'm considered a lyricist librettist. So I just write the words and I work with a composer, which is what has been so wonderful about, going into the pop and country world is that I'm also writing the melodies.
Oh, great.
But I always have to work with an arranger to actually put the music, underneath it because I write the melodies and the lyric and the hooks and everything.
Yes.
And then somebody else just puts the chords, underneath it. So once it was written out in sheet music, I could play it on the piano, but I don't really compose on a piano or a guitar. I've just started to teach myself guitar, and it's helped obviously expand me as a country songwriter because so much is based in guitar. But
yeah,
luckily I have great musicians around me who can turn it into beautiful things.
Well, that's wonderful, yeah.
Yeah.
And it sets the tone. The piano, it all set the tone for what you'll do later on, even though you're concentrating on lyrics. Who knows, subconsciously you may have melodies in your head from that time learning all that by rote musical stuff.
Oh, definitely. And I, with the country and pop music, I write all the melodies as well. So I just write them a cappella, and then I usually, put a drum beat behind it that you get, on GarageBand. I can put a drum beat and sing it, and then somebody can hear exactly what I'm wanting musically underneath. And obviously someone like Joe, who's a producer, I'll take him things and sing a cappella in his studio, and he'll know exactly what to do piano-wise.
Wow.
So. But yeah, the melodies and the lyric are all mine, which is really fun.
Before we go to the break, I'm running out of time. What a wonderful guest you are, Leslie.
You
do have a nice conversational style, and that's exactly what I'm after.
Thank you.
Because I need you to carry the conversation. No, I'm kidding. we need to talk a little bit about that Broadway, because when I talked to my friend, my collaborator, we were discussing you. I said, hey, take a look at this woman's page and see what she's up to. And look at all the Broadway stuff that you have done, or just musical theater, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, was all this on Broadway or off?
All the major shows have been on Broadway, but I've also done off Broadway. I've done a lot of regional theater. We can definitely talk about that.
Okay, we can talk about some of the stuff that you have in your credits. You talked about Wicked coming to Nashville. So you've been in it?
Yes, yes, I've done Wicked twice. Actually, I was on the road with it for a full year about 8 years ago, and then last year they called me out of the blue and needed an emergency replacement for just a short time for someone who was going out of the show for a short time.
Uh-huh.
So it was just, again, one of those gifts from the universe that happened right when I said I wanted to write country music, and the first stop on the tour was Nashville. So,
oh, wonderful.
My answer was, yes, I want to do that.
Most of these things, are you one of the key players, or are you in the ensemble?
It's all mixed. I've done, when I do regional work, I'm always a principal role. I just did a couple years ago on Broadway, I originated the role of Clyde's mother in Bonnie and Clyde. There was a musical of Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay.
It's been a wonderful mix of both, and I love that because there are times in my personality, there are times I want to be the star, and I love it when I am. Mm-hmm. And then there's times I really love to be in the background and not be not have the pressure on, and it allows me to go back to my writing, you know, and really invest in that. Because when you are a principal in a Broadway show or any show, that becomes your full focus. It's, you know, you have to take care of your voice. There's not a whole lot of other things that you can do because it's exhausting, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And I love it when I'm doing it. I'm actually, our show, Amazing Grace on Broadway, which I'm in the ensemble, mm-hmm. It's closing at the end of October, and then I'm going out of town to do a starring role that I've been wanting to do for a long time at a regional theater. So I get to have a nice mix of those, you know, being in the forefront and then stepping back a little bit and let someone else take it.
Yeah. Well, Amazing Grace, you said it's closing. That's too bad because it sounds like it was getting well received, but these things happen, I guess. You know,
they do happen. You know, I have to say there is nothing more challenging than bringing a brand new musical to Broadway. It is the hardest thing. It is the most expensive venture. It is the riskiest venture. And this show is so incredibly special. And people who have seen it just marvel at it. They are moved by it. Everyone stands and sings with us at the end when we sing Amazing Grace at the end. And it's this incredibly powerful show. Mm-hmm. And New York just hasn't embraced it enough to get enough ticket sales. So they had to make the choice. And I do believe that that they will have a national tour of the show because it will be a show that plays all over the country and will be hugely successful. When they only have to sell a week or two, you know, in a city, people will flock to it and it will be a gigantic hit. So the people here, you know, that come to see it, they're speechless. They absolutely love it. It is an incredibly moving story.
And you've been doing that over at the Niederlander Theater, right?
Yes, at the Niederlander. And I've been involved with it since last year. We did our out-of-town tryout in Chicago for about 6 weeks, and then it took another 6 months for us to make the transfer to Broadway. And we're so blessed because the people from, it's all the same cast from Chicago that came to Broadway, which is very rare that ever happens because people, you know, go off and do other projects or they're not available or the producers decide to replace people, and they kept us. So that was really special.
Help me out a little bit. I'm a little naive when it comes to the Great White Way or Broadway in general, theaters out there. That place is like a 1,200-seat house. Is that a big audience or a normal-size audience for when you go do a show?
The Niederlander is just around 1,100 seats, and that's a pretty typical Broadway house. You know, people think Broadway is going to be gigantic, but the old-style Broadway houses are all around the 1,100 to 1,200 seats. And then some of the newer ones that have built, are, like where Wicked is playing at the Gershwin, are much more, you know, are much bigger for shows that are, you know, blockbuster giant hits.
Okay.
But for the most part, around 1,100 is about average. And when you go to regional theater, it varies. You know, I've done shows at theaters, you know, that have 250 seats. I've done regional theater that have bigger houses than Broadway. So it really just depends on the venue and, you know, that particular theater. So.
Okay, great. Okay, I have more Broadway questions, but I'm going to have to carry them into the next one. So can you hang on after we take the break and we'll talk some more? And then Leslie says she's going to teach me a thing or two about songwriting. Maybe we can just sort of compare notes. I'd love to get her insight because she sounds like a very, very talented writer, librettist, lyricist, anything you want to say, but she concentrates more on lyrics, and that's something that I could use some help on. So hang on just a moment, and we'll be right back. Thank you. Quick break. I'm going to just take some coffee here. How do you stay up? Do you drink coffee or how do you stay so perky when you're out there?
Well, you know, I don't drink coffee. I'm kind of one of those people who, you know, when I wake up, you know, waking up is I actually love waking up. I'm not an early, early riser, but, you know, I've always got a pretty packed day, and I love that, and I've built my life for that. You know, and that's part of why I'm single, Dean, because I don't have time for that.
Well,
you know, if I had a husband and children, that would be, you know, honestly, I wouldn't be able to do as many of the things that I do, because that's, you know, that's a whole other aspect, and I think it's wonderful for people who choose that and create a life with that where they can do both. I marvel at that, because my time is so tight all the time.
Yeah, well, that's
wonderful. I like to save it for my creative projects.
There's always a challenge trying to keep yourself up and positive and everything when you don't quite feel that way, right? You got to do that.
Yeah, so. It's a natural part of certainly what we do as artists. It's so easy to go down a darker path because you can choose to be an artist. It doesn't mean that someone's going to buy what you create. And or you know, if you go into an audition and you're the best one there, sometimes that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? They could pick someone else, even if you did a great job. And so that is something that, you know, having a strong mental attitude is crucial to stay in this business because it will tear you up.
I tend to agree. And that's the end of part one. We just went into a break. You're going to get to hear part two next time. Please go to www.lesliebmusic, that's B as in beautiful, .com, and you'll get information on how to pick up her current project, Get Yourself a Cowboy, on iTunes and some other places. And I have to get going. Don't forget to tune in for next week's show. And until then, this is Dean Olson saying, let's all put our best pens forward and be strong writers together. Have a great weekend. God bless. Take care. And we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye now.
You've been listening to Strong Rider on the Radio with your host, Dean Olson, on the amazing Women and Men of Power, world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.